The Holy Gospel according to the Gospel of Luke. In the 15th year of the governance of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod was tetrarch of Galilee, Philip his brother was tetrarch of Eritrea and Trachonitis, and Licinius was ruler of Abilene during the priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas. In that time, the word of the Lord came to John, who was in the wilderness. He went into the whole region of the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism for conversion in light of the pardon of sins, as it was written in the book of the prophet Isaiah. A voice cries out in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. Every valley shall be filled, all mountains and all hills will be made low, tortuous roadways will be made smooth, and everyone shall see the salvation of the Lord." This is the gospel of the Lord. It's snowing outside, if you didn't notice. I love snow, and someone said it's going to be 10 inches before the end of the day. So stick around. You might be here overnight. Today I'd like to talk about curiosity, which kind of bubbled out of my thinking about John the Baptist this week. I think we need a guy like John the Baptist in our lives. He cuts through the tangles of society to ground us in a reality that sustains. I thought this week John the Baptist belongs on a college campus where minds are open and ready to learn. He is a teacher of righteousness. John pushes the people to prepare for the way of the Lord with knowledge and full insight. Isn't that the objective that we all face at the end of term? To be prepared with knowledge and full insight? John did that with the Word, God's Word. He was the professor who goes overboard, cajoling, expecting results. Not because he's an ogre, but because he is so absolutely passionate about his task. John would look at what's happening off campus on our city streets and sidewalks and be perplexed at the style of our busy preparations for the nativity reflected in decorations and present purchasing and parties. John says that knowledge and full insight are not at all related to the commercial hype. Rather, it is about spiritual and intellectual sharpness. So he says to us, repent. Prepare yourselves to receive the Messiah, the Prince of Peace, whom we await, whose advent is part of our lore, part of our story, absolutely central to our identity. John's job is to get down to the absolute bedrock of God's saving work. His voice mocks and exposes those people who are in the great temple in Jerusalem, who acted out of their power, their hunger for power, and their political ambition. Just listen to the descriptions of the people that are at this, that are mentioned in this first verse of the third chapter of Luke. Tiberius was emperor. He was Augustus Caesar's stepson. He is described in history as being baffled, befuddled, and who absolutely frightened the senators. Josephus, the great church historian of the first century, tells that Pilate was incompetent and was a gross mismanager. Herod was fickle and unpredictable. He took the wife of his half-brother Philip for himself, and Philip ultimately asks for the head of John the Baptist. Annas and Caiaphas play a central role in the crucifixion of Jesus. That faculty was a contemptible, seedy lot. John knew that the world in Jerusalem was dead wrong. So he stood outside Jerusalem, 12, 15 miles east of Jerusalem, and cried out to the people, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." He cried out because a magnificent new time of grace was at hand. Those in authority should have known what was happening, but they were distracted. Management of government and the temple led to the formation of a cluster of serious scribes during the time of John, who withdrew from Jerusalem to establish a community there along the Dead Sea called Qumran. There they transcribed holy text onto parchment and then meticulously sealed the word into clay jars for safekeeping. A dozen caves are there in the Judean hillside where these become the sealed chambers for the word, where these scrolls would be preserved for future generations regardless of the disregard currently at play in Jerusalem, at the temple, in the nation. These scribes who were there at Qumran, the Essenes, practiced the ritual of daily washing for the repentance of sin, the forgiveness of sin. They lived absolutely in the light of grace, knowing how wrong the world could be. Yet they were fully aware that both knowledge and full insight were attainable through discipline. John lived near these people. It was just 8 miles from Jericho over to Qumran, half the distance between here and Faribault. John must have known something about the preparations and the practices of the Essenes. John knew that the word brought promise to the people, how necessary repentance was, how efficacious baptism was in ritual washing. He also knew that the people stood on the very edge of history when a great void would be filled. Part of that gravity of preparation and remembrance and repentance was collecting, having together all the ingredients of the story. The Essenes knew this, John knew this. Without the proper ingredients, no real preparation could be made. Or if an uninformed attempt of the wrong ingredients were gathered together, it would fail. So a lot was at stake when John called out to the people. When I thought about this, I thought, golly, this is the week of preparation at the college. You know how important preparation is, solid preparation. Exams begin on Thursday. All of you and all of your brothers and sisters who are snuggled in their dorms will, right now this weekend, gather the essentials of each class in order to finalize a paper or to prepare for a jury presentation, or grasp that kind of material that will be articulated in a blue book. You need to prepare. You will define what you have prepared in your unique fashion, and you will be accountable when all is said and done. It's daunting, but it's also the stuff that makes life worthwhile and sets and prepares us for the future stage. Believe me, you will remember those memorized language dialogues even a half century from now. I took Norwegian my second year, and I can still say, "No, vi skal sette oss prate lite grann, og vi skal sove som en stein hele natt." Now, you can figure out what that means. It means we'll sit and talk a little and have a good night's sleep afterwards. But I don't speak Norwegian at all. But those remnants hang on to us. John knew how important and fragile the fragments of salvation history were in preparing God's people for what was about to transpire. John knew that the written word was entirely lost at the destruction of the first temple when the Babylonians invaded and burned and sacked the holy site. John knew of the enormous jubilee that took place when Cyrus let the Jews come back to Jerusalem from exile in 587, and the holy Torah was unearthed after 70 years of being in its own exile. John knew that maintaining the word was central to his call. John knew that the word was breaking forth in the Messiah, who was Jesus of Nazareth. Prepare ye the way. Tomorrow will be a glorious day. Get ready, John says. Know what to expect. Be well informed. And when the test comes, you'll shine. But our world is distracted, decking out the malls, collecting Santa wish lists from children, hosting parties, singing merrily, dressing up, fabricating commercials to win hearts and pocketbooks. This thin veil of frivolity does not define the season. All of this is silliness if the word is unknown. It might be a byproduct, but it does not capture the essence of God's incarnation in Jesus Christ. Be aware of this. Our Jewish friends today will light the first of seven candles in Hanukkah, celebrating the cleansing of the temple after its destruction in the second century. The celebration is about the restoration of the word as central to the people. Hanukkah understands the power of destruction and desecration and the call to inform and be prepared and to restore the word to its right place. The light of Hanukkah also shines out from the Essenes. John will not let the hype and the opulence that has taken over the temple in Jerusalem define the moment. He grabs hold of the word transmitted down through time and tells the people to get right with God, for now is the moment. This is the hour when the Messiah will appear, as Isaiah proclaimed. It's pretty heavy stuff. What about those neighbors of John down there in Qumran? The Essene community kept doing their task. Eventually, before the end of the first century, they would disappear. But their careful discipline would lie quietly, waiting to be discovered two millennia later. In 1947, when I was 2 years old, a shepherd boy would lance a stone from his slingshot and hear the crash of a clay pot coming out of a hole up there in the Judean hills, high above the valley floor. And he would, out of curiosity, scramble up the Judean hillside, enter the temple, and there go into the chamber where jar after jar stood waiting to be found. He told his father, and merchants in Jerusalem came down. They were ignorant and greedy collectors, and they grabbed the contents and they threw them into storage rooms behind busy shops where rain would cement fragile fragments together and blur the ancient ink and compromise the word written by scribes when John preached along the Jordan. But God's expression of the word would not be lost. You can see the magnificent Isaiah scroll in the Shrine of the Book near the Hebrew University in Jerusalem today. Scholars decipher each word and lay it up against current translations, authenticating the integrity of the promise that is given to us. Go and visit this place and see for yourself. Stand there before this magnificent book and let it prepare you with full insight and understanding. Let John's call stoke your curiosity for the content of the Word, who becomes flesh to dwell with us, who leads us, who who never stops pushing us toward peace, who helps us understand with full insight the wonderful mystery of life that God so freely gives. This is the word who awaits us. Be curious and serious in your preparation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.